And so we just bless you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for your presence by your spirit from the various places in which we are gathered tonight in the spirit of expectation, God, positioning our hearts, God, our minds, our bodies, our spirits to receive of you. God, we desire to bless you as your mighty ones, God. So I thank you, Lord, that tonight, you know, even as we gather, God, that there is just a spirit of unity, there is a spirit of oneness, God, and that your glory may be in the midst, God. And so we've sung it, but we declare already in advance, that strongholds are coming down and Jesus is lifted high in Jesus' name. Come on. Strongholds are coming down. So again, I want to welcome you tonight. My name is Sir Walter Scott III, pastor here at Abounding Grace Family Worship Center. And so thank you for being with us on this Wednesday evening. We gather together in person, for those that are regionally, we gathered together in person on this past Sunday. And of course, for those that are viewing from various other locations, I know you were able to be a part of our stream as well. So thank you for that. But in particular, we talked about keys that were being released on this past Sunday, right? Keys being released. So I'm already kind of revved up, ready to kind of just jump right in. But we talked about keys being released. And of course, there was a prophetic motion that I was led to do as a demonstration. And of course, the reference was in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus talked about how the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God. And so I just want to get my time so I can gauge myself, because I'm full tonight, so I'm ready to release. But that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God. And one of the prophetic acts, or the prophetic act or motion that I did do, was like a kicking motion. And of course, this wasn't in my thought, but I was just kind of just seeing and sensing some things as far as for just wherever there may have been gates of hell that may have been erected, that us carrying the kingdom with the keys that have been given to us from Jesus, his keys that he gives to us. It's like, look, you know what? We're kicking these things down. We're kicking these things down. And so as a result of that, you know, I woke up this morning. This is like fresh manna, and it's hot. It is hot, fresh manna. So just be open tonight. There's going to be so much things that is released that you're not going to be able to write it all down. So just position yourself to receive. But at the same time, I understood from this past Sunday to even to now, it's like, or kind of kicked off even last night, I was like, oh, you know what? I identified, saw some gates, and got some discernment and some insight on some things. And so we're going to start off talking about something. Of course, you've seen tonight, right now, it's called Creativity Loaded, but we're going to be dealing with creativity. But I need to kind of start and attack and kick down. And what we're going to do is kick down, expose to bind and kick down this one particular gate, and it's a gate that I'm calling familiarity. Yeah, familiarity, and that's important because what many people are doing, you will hear this more and more, many people are looking forward to going back, right? In our society, many people, as things are opening up more and more, many people are looking forward to going back, but what we want to do as a people is to look, is to gather and look forward to going forward. So we're not just going back to how things used to be. And so that's what that familiarity, that's what that kind of stuff kind of creeping in on a subtle kind of manner when people's like, oh man, I can't wait for things to get back to the way that they used to be. Yeah, and so that's that mindset, that's that disposition, that's that spirit, but we're going to intercept that, we're going to eradicate that and remove it and rebuke it, expose it, and see how to war and work against that so that way we can be, and that way God can usher in the new things that he desires to do in the season, all right? So now, again, this is some fresh manna. And so, you know, I just kind of be led for how the Lord will have us just to float in different ways, you know, this past Sunday. Well, anyways, I'm not even going to say all that. So here we go. Yeah. So there's several statements that I was inspired and led and probably even more so instructed to write down. So I kind of want to be obedient to that cause as we're talking about this tonight. So here we go. We're going to talk about working against familiar spirits. I know some people may have kind of sensed that. One of the things that may be an indicator, if you kind of see some old stuff trying to rear its head or some things that may have been in the past try to come back, yeah, that's familiarity. That's familiar spirits. And so that's that's connected to that old that's trying to creep back into the new things and the new way of us working differently that God wants to usher us into individually, us as a ministry, and I also believe and know corporately as a body of Christ as well too, that there's some new things that he desires to be released in this time, in this age, in this dispossession, in this dispensation. So, okay, so here we go. Think about this for a moment. Just put it in your mind. Familiar spirits don't want you to work differently. That's strong, but it is true right off the bat. Familiar spirits do not want you to work differently. As we've been talking about working and working for opportunities to reveal the King and working in a new manner with a new mindset and in a new way, we all need to understand that familiar spirits do not want you to work differently. They work against change. They resist the new. Come on. And so they fight against that. And so whenever there's been a breakthrough or some cohesion or some clarity, in a sense, the familiar spirits will try to come up and say, you know, that old dispensation, that old way, that old mindset, that old, you understand it, that old spirit will try to come up and try to suck you back in like a black hole. Ah, yeah. And so that's not going to be us. Okay, so again, familiar spirits don't want you to work differently, but working differently results in the kingdom of darkness losing authority and territory. That's why. Because when we work differently, when we work in a new manner, as we stay in connection with Holy Spirit, we take territory. And we reclaim authority. Some of the things, of course, we know Jesus ultimately did it. But, you know, as we go in different areas, you know, we repossess some things. Some of the strongholds that the enemy has kind of set up and erected that has become familiar. No, we reclaim that by working differently in connection with the Holy Spirit. OK, so familiar spirits, they like to be without form. Or if there is form, they only like to have a form of. They like to be without form or to only have a form of. That's what familiar spirits like to do. They like to have a form of or to be void. Or to be void, meaning empty, or to make sure that there's full of darkness. That's the environment that they kind of reside in, that they, I would say, thrive in. They like that. It's comfortable for them to operate in these types of areas and situations. Come on. And so whenever there's an environment or a situation that is without clarity or without understanding and without definition, that's where these familiar spirits try to come in or raise up the this ugly head, the ugly environment. And I know some people, maybe you've been contending with some things and you're just getting the aha, there's some things that your eyes are being opened to right now. Yeah, absolutely. It's a familiar spirit. A type of familiar spirit. So here we go. That's why opposition and resentment or resistance may rise up whenever there's a conversation about something new or about change. Whenever there's something new that's trying to come up on the scene, you can kind of sense, or whenever there's a question, well, you know, why do we always do it this way? Sometimes those people, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, they don't even know what's in them or upon them, but then they rise up and speak and say, well, because it's always been done this way. Or I don't want to change because I've always been doing it this way. Now, that's okay if it's something that's productive and it's fruitful. But if it's not, then those familiar spirits, they try to anchor people into that place and into that position. So that where there's no fruit, so that where there's no thriving, right? But it's that familiarity. And I know some people have felt like this, whenever it's like, man, it seems like I've been taking two steps forward and I've been thanking God, but it seems like, man, something happens and I'm going three steps back into the same, oh, yeah, that's familiar. It's going to get exposed, eradicated, destroyed tonight in the name of Jesus. Come on. Strongholds are coming down. Jesus is lifted high. So we understand that. So we understand some people get irritable in that situation. But then familiarity, here we go, enters when you allow something to stay in a broken state. Something can be without form, void, full of darkness. But if it goes, if that goes, if that without form if that void, if that full of darkness, if that goes without confrontation, then familiarity comes right on in. It's like, yeah, thank you. I like this stuff that's without form or just has a form of, but not the real thing, not the true thing. I like stuff where it's just kind of just empty and it's not full of God. And I like stuff where it's dark and there's no insight, there's no understanding. Now, I'm familiar with this. No, 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 no. We rebuke that. We identify that and we rebuke that into the name of Jesus. Yeah, so again, familiarity, you know, when we allow some things to kind of stay in that condition, that's when it kind of starts to fester. And we're going to see some of the results of that, but it can fester and produce some things that are not like God, okay? And so if there's no one aware or present to work like God in those situations, then what is broken will stay broken. So whenever there's a situation that is without form or has a form of, or that's empty or full of darkness, there has to be someone in position, present, and aware, and has the ability to be able to work like God for that situation to change. For there to be light shed upon that situation. Yeah, we're going to get to some scriptures in a little bit, a few I want us to take a look at. But here's another thought that's powerful. In connection with that, we need someone to confront it because the supernatural confronts the status quo. Ha, that's good. The supernatural confronts the status quo. So something that is in a low state, that is in a low status, or that is in an out of order status, the supernatural comes to confront that and to change it. So that way it can be in the order and in the position and the functionality that's aligned with God's purposes and with that's aligned with his intention. Yeah. So what God is saying for us, he's like, hey, and we said this in different kind of ways, but this is revelatory. It's simple. We know it, but it's revelatory when we apply it. I want you to work like me. That's what God is saying. Because there's things that's without form or that's void of him and full of darkness, right? So God needs us and desiring us as mighty ones to say, hey, I'm inviting you to not just follow me, but to work like me. Or not just to like me. That's a better way to say it. Not just to like me, but to be like me. Okay, I'm not going to. Yeah, so here's what we can do. Working like God. To work against familiar spirits, we want to make sure that we, one, see in the spirit, meaning that we get his vision, we get a picture of what it should be, or what it is. Because if it's something that's without form, that's empty, or full of darkness, then it's like, okay, God, open my eyes so that I might see what is or what it should be. That's one. Two, working like God in this situation. We want to get wisdom. Wisdom talks about itself in Proverbs. It says, hey, the Lord possessed me in the beginning. Ah, my God. So we want to see, have that vision, get that spiritual, it's all supernatural, but to get that spiritual sight, that insight, then we want to receive that wisdom, that know-how, that understanding. Okay, God, I thank you, Lord, that like the sons of Issachar, we understand the time, seasons, and we also know what to do. All right? That's two. Number three, we want to get the word. We want to get what he is saying so that way faith comes by hearing. So that way faith comes. We get the sight, we get the wisdom, but we know something must be done, so we get faith to position ourselves. So that's receiving his word and allowing his word to build us up, right? So we need that faith to be mustered up, because the fourth thing that we need to do, we need to declare and to say. That's what's needed in working against this familiarity. So even in this environment, it's like, God, Lord, what is the picture? What it is that you're showing now, God? I thank you, God, for giving me the wisdom. God, I thank you, Lord, for a word that will build faith that I can stand on and anchor me and solidify me And of course, the word does so much. But then also at the same time, I have that word now that I can declare and that I can say. All right? So that's how we're working like God in this season. Here we go. Get this back up here. So it's this spirit of work. This is what I'm calling it, spirit of work. And so the spirit of work, in like fashion, it's to form, to fulfill where there's void, to form where there's no form, to have the true form and an expression of what godliness is, while other people just want a form of it, but no power. We have this form with the power, all right? We work in the spirit to fulfill, that's number two. And then, of course, to bring revelation when there's darkness, when there's no clarity, we bring revelation and we bring light. That's part of our spirit in which we work, right? And so how we operate in the spirit is to go back to the beginning. So let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Just going to shed light on some things. I thank God for the freshness of his word. Just going to look at the first five verses, and that'll kind of kick us off further. In the beginning, somebody say, in the beginning, God, what's that next word? Created. God created the heavens and the earth. And I'll just keep reading. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. My goodness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So he confronted what he saw and brought about change in this manner. Verse 4, and God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And then I'll stop at verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and the morning were the first day. And so again, verse 1, it says again, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. God created. God created. So one of the first things, no, not one of, but the first thing that we come to know about God, or the scripture lets us know in Genesis chapter 1, is that God creates. He creates. He is the creator. He creates. So God created. That word is bara, B-A-R-A in the Hebrew, and it means this. He shaped. He formed. Woo! He birthed. Oh, my goodness. He established something that was new. Oh, that's what God did. He dispatched. He did something new. He established new conditions and circumstances. Oh, so in the beginning, God shaped. In the beginning, God formed. In the beginning, he dispatched. In the beginning, he birthed. In the beginning, he did something new. In the beginning, he established new conditions and circumstances based upon what he saw. Now, the Bible lets us know what was there. The earth was without form, but God actually already saw what it should be. And then he spoke. That was his creative process. So that way, that thing that wasn't in order, he didn't just become familiar with it and just let it stay that way. Okay, so now, again, familiar spirits try to work against your work. If you find it a fight to be creative, it's because it's a fight. If you find a fight to be able to shape something, to shape a policy, or to shape your children, or to shape a thought, or to form an ideal, or to form a company, or to dispatch some things, or to do something new, or to establish new conditions or circumstances, if you see that there's resistance, it's because it is there. It's a real thing, but it's something that we have the anointing to be able to break through. And so what you might find in this fight, some people may have felt this even in this season, and if you're feeling this, I'm telling you, you're going to experience a breakthrough even now, that some people
or the, what these familiar spirits, what they do, they try to work against even your desire to create or to be creative. Or if you actually do create something, then what they do is they work against the proper perspective, because God created and saw that it was good. But sometimes when we finally create something, and because of all the warfare that we went through just to create it and produce something, and then by the time it exists, other people might celebrate, but then we look at it and be like, ugh. Other people are saying it's good, and we're like, man, you know what? I don't even want to have anything else to do with it, because it was just so much warfare just to get to this point, and then we just get exhausted. But that's part of that familiarity, so that's not going to be the case. So one thing that we're going to do to get into the creative zone, because we have to get into the creative zone of this season, because otherwise there's this environment, there's this speech, there's this spirit that wants to pull us back to how things used to be. But in order for us to get into the creative zone, we have to leave the comfort zone. Yeah. In the comfort zone, oh my goodness, don't we love the comfort zone? Sometimes that comfort zone will show up in the snooze button. I don't even know why they put that on the alarm clock. The alarm clock's supposed to wake you up on the time in which it rings, but then they give a snooze button because they knew the patterns of people. You wake up, but you don't really want to wake up yet. You want to be comfortable to get back in that bed, but no. Creativity requires for us to work differently. So that's that part there against familiar spirits, and you're going to hear it, because it's kind of like a theme that'll get exposed in different manners, but I like that. So one of the things to help us in this creative season and this creative life that God is calling us to be able to work creatively like he works creatively, because he did these works, but it said that he created, right? Okay, so now we see that also that's a part of his nature, and that he designed and set up, and I thank God for, is creative teams. Somebody just write that down right now. Just say, Lord, I thank you for creative teams. Creative teams. So now, think about this. A perfect God rested from his work in creation. He had his part to do, but he rested from his work in creation. But he still left room for man to add to it. Oh my goodness. Team thing. God is perfect. And then he said he did all his work and he rested. But guess what? He still left room. He's like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do every single thing. I want man to be able to add to this, because I've created man in my image and in my likeness. And I want to see my craftsmanship, my workmanship in man go to work. I want him to create. So now let's just take a peek at this in Genesis chapter 2. Three verses in Genesis chapter 2. Actually, one I'm just going to mention. And then verse 18 and 19 is what we're going to look at. But remember, the Lord God planted a garden, and then he placed man, the man in which he formed, in that garden, right? The Bible lets us know that. The man in which he formed, Adam, he placed him in that garden to tend to it. It's his responsibility. It's part of his work. It's part of his occupation. All right? But verse 18 and 19, here we go with some team thought here. Team is a good thing. I remember glancing last night as the Olympics are getting started. I looked on YouTube, my wife and I, looked at just like 5 minutes, but I think it was the first game that the original Dream Team back in 1992 in basketball when they played in the Olympics. And so, it was something to see all those stars that I grew up watching. But anyways, verse 18 and 19, talking about team, right? Creative teams. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So you see team here, right? You see team here in two different expressions right here. So let's look at Adam first, and then we'll backtrack to what God said, what God saw, what God noticed. And so Adam, God is saying, hey, you know what? I know what I did is good, but I want to leave room for Adam to be able to speak to it. So I think it's very powerful that God created an environment, God created an environment for Adam to be creative. He placed him in a garden, and then he brought an opportunity for Adam to be able to express his creativity. And then whatever Adam said, God's like, yep, that's his name. I'm just using my imagination right now, but here God communing with Adam, bringing the animals, and then Adam saying whatever, you know, I'm just using English because that's what I know, giraffe, zebra. And maybe, you know, just imagine the angels like, okay, so what do we call this animal? God said, you call him what Adam called it. That's what its name is. So with the creative team, come on, for creativity in the season, creative team, you don't want to be, watch this, you don't want to be so protective of your own creativity that you don't allow someone else to be able to add some additional definition to it. Okay, so let me just expose myself for a little bit, because one of my creative things, you know, I would get like real protective about things that I create and things that I write and be like, no, it's not finished. I don't want nobody to touch it. They'd be like, no, it's not done. I don't want nobody to see it yet until it's all, ta-da. Okay, now I'm finished now. Now you can look at it. But it's like, nah, you had to go back and revisit that. Guess what? God finished, but he's like, look, I still left room for someone else to add to it. That's what team does. God's like, hey, I like team. And here's another thing about it. He was like, look, I like this idea of team so much, I just noticed that, hey, you know, it's not good for Adam to be alone. In my brilliance, I'm going to create someone that is suitable for him. And ta-da, we have woman. Thank God for woman. Glory to God. And I thank God for my woman. Yeah, got my ring. Thank God for my woman. So now what Eve, in the creativity and in the wisdom of the Lord, here you got Adam adding definition to God's creativity, to God's creation. But now what Eve is able to do is to complement and compare. And she's a creator as well, but what she's able to do is not only to add, but to be able to multiply. Woo! So she adds to it, but then she's able to take of Adam and begin to multiply. So that way the work can continue. Yeah, and so I understand that. You know, my wife, she's able to, she asks some things, but then she also, watch this, what Eve did, my wife does, and you kind of catch this terminology, this play on words, so to speak, but my wife is able to bring life to some things and to multiply it. So it is something, come on, even as men, sometimes we know that we can be real brilliant and say, nah, I got this. God of all people was the prime one who could have said, yeah, I got this. But he said, hey, Adam, come here, let me bring this to you. What should that be called? He brought it to him, gave him an opportunity. So let me just talk to some brothers right now that might be a little stubborn. Listen to your Eve. Give her an opportunity to be able to add and to be able to multiply it. Will it be different from you? Absolutely. Should it be different from you? Absolutely. But it's going to be a blessing. Now for people that are just so protective, and maybe sometimes people might be a little bit scared of, well, I don't know what they're going to say or what they're going to think. It's okay. The right people, the comparable people, will be able to compliment and will be able to add. They're suitable. That's what that dream team is. That's what that dream team is, right? And so what we want to be able to do, because God was able to trust Adam, because Adam was working like God. God saw the light, called it day. Adam saw the animals and gave it a name too. He called it what it was. God's like, yeah, I like that. That boy's working like me. My creation is working like me. He's creating some things, right? So now, the next dimension of creativity is having the right partnership for you and I. Because some people might feel jammed, they might feel stuck, but we're going to pray some things out for that as well. But someone comparable that will bring a new life to you. So now someone just say, Lord, I thank you for the creative team of my life. Say it again. Lord, I thank you for the creative team of my life. Oh my goodness, that can help me, that can add to me, that can multiply and bring life to this work that I've been called to. So let me just say this right now. Stop doing everything on your own all by yourself. It is not good for you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here we go. That's creative teams. But now we see here in creation that there are some boundaries. There are some boundaries. There are some things that we want to adhere to. Or here's the key word. There's some creative, I think there's probably even a better word. There's creative counsel. I think that's a better word. You got the creative teams, and then the creative teams provide creative counsel. Write that down. I feel like Dr. Miles Monroe. Write that down. But we want the creative counsel in the name of Jesus, and that's where that team, and so what this counsel does, it provides some parameters, some principles for us to be able to follow. So here we go. We have this terminology that's very common, especially in our Western society now. And let me just say in particular, since I live in America, most of us live in the United States, you know, that people are calling themselves and labeling themselves, yep, I'm a creative. All right. So for those that haven't heard that, that's a new term to describe people's job or it's their title, or it kind of describes the kind of work that they do. It's like, yeah, you know, I just create. My responsibility is just to create content or to create things. I'm a creative. And I think that's great in a certain aspect. But if it is without divine counsel, because people can form their own teams and totally omit God as if he was an option to begin with. He's not an option, but people look at him as an option. He's supposed to be there the whole time because he blessed people with the creative ability. But they choose to forego, including God, and so they just say, hey, you know, I'm a creative, as if that nature didn't come from the creator. Ah, the arrogance of people. So anyways, what they do, they have their own creative space and end up creating definitions or creating new definitions to things that God had already clearly defined. Ah. So then now they start creating things without counsel. And so they start saying stuff like this. Yep, I'm going to go there just for a few seconds. They start saying love is love. And God said, hey, I'm love. We look at the garden. God said, hey, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. I have a brilliant idea. I'm going to make someone that's suitable. I'm going to make someone that's comparable for him. Man meet woman. Creative people start to say, you know what, that ideal's, that's kind of old school. You know what? Man, man, woman, woman. It doesn't matter. Love is love. So now they start to use their creativity without the counsel, without the boundaries, without the parameters of what God has established. And so creativity without counsel will ultimately produce chaos. I'm going to say that again. Creativity. And so that's what we don't want to fall in line, because even if it's not dealing with a sexual sense, it could be in other areas where we start to get creative without counsel, and then it produces chaos, or we find ourselves in a chaotic situation. It's because we started to do things, we started to enter relationships and to create stuff without the counsel of God. And then we wonder why we get all bruised up and banged up. And God still got, you know, he still extends mercy and there's grace, but it could have been avoided. Right? Okay, so we want to make sure that we stay within these creative boundaries. So again, Adam was placed in the garden. The garden, if you allow me to say it this way, was his lane, his jurisdiction, his most immediate sphere of influence. That was it. That was it. And in his lane, in his jurisdiction, in his immediate spirit influence, God brought to him opportunities to be creative. He didn't have to go traveling all over the place. While he was in his lane, governing and stewarding and growing in that and managing and walking in the cool of the day, fellowshipping with God, God brought him opportunities to be creative. So it was one location, but he dominated and created in his space. And then the impact filled not only the world, but his creativity produced well after his life. Right? Because God told man to dominate. We got to understand that. Subdue, all that kind of stuff. Have dominion, all that. But he was in his lane doing that. He was in his jurisdiction. But that's what creativity with counsel does. It allows you to produce some things that outlive you in a healthy sense. Okay? But here's a big thought, even as it pertains to this. This was good. This was good to me. You don't have to go everywhere to be everywhere. I'm going to say that again. Remember, Adam was in the garden. He was doing, he was creating. He didn't have to travel the whole world. But we know his influence. We know that they populated. So now I say that to say this. You don't have to go everywhere to have influence in various places. You don't have to go everywhere to have your creativity that God has given you in partnership with him to be able to touch the lives of other people. Woo! As long as you stay in your spirit influence, you stay in your lane, so to speak, and then you grow and you develop it and you quote unquote, if you master it, you master that domain, you master that specialty, then opportunities for your creativity to be expressed will be brought to you. Ah, you got that? So stay faithful where you are, and you've heard this before. Bloom where you are planted. I need to say that again. Stay faithful in what you're doing and bloom where you're planted, and then God will bring the opportunities to you. So good. Here we go, back to another point with that, with creative boundaries, because what familiar spirits will do, they will draw you from this place in a subtle fashion. They will try to pull you out your lane. They will try to pull you out your sphere of influence and out the place where God has planted you, the place where God has positioned you, the environment where God has established for you to be able to grow, right? So now for me, I've mentioned this before, but I think it's good context to share this as well. I remember that I wanted to move to Atlanta. It was early on, probably the first year or so when my wife and I, when we got married. I know if it wasn't the first year, it was definitely the second year. Within our first 2 years, I wanted to move to Atlanta. And so, you know, I have a strong music side. I have a lot of musicians in my family. And of course, you know, I have music all up in me as well. But that really started for me. It really, really, really kind of blossomed or started taking off, you know, in Atlanta, and it progressed from there. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I wanted to go back to kind of do some things, and I wasn't doing it because it was just popping, even though it was, but I was doing it to go back. I was doing it because it was a familiar spirit trying to draw me out of position. Saying, hey, and they were saying, hey, you know what, hey, man, you could do this and you could try to make this happen and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, because Atlanta's known for like musical artists and creative, so to speak. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to go back there and then, you know, whatever, we'll just find a church just to kind of go anywhere. But I'm going to just do me, right? But then it was like, get some counsel, please. And my wife, you know, she could probably share more from her perspective about that. But it's like, no, get some counsel. I appreciate your creativity. Thank God for your creativity. But I think your creativity needs some counsel. I think so that way it can actually come to its full expression to honor God. I think there needs to be some boundaries. I think, you know, there's some counsel that's needed to make sure that you're creating in the right aspect and in the right spirit, which God would have you to. And not to just go to a familiar spirit, not to just go back because that was my home where I used to live at and have some serious memories, some traumatic memories as well, but some serious memories, but that was not the case. But what the familiar spirit would kind of be, just like what the serpent would say, hath God not said? And that's what people do. They wrestle with and they'll be like, and they're trying to figure out, well, maybe I need to do this and I need to do that and da, 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 da. I know. But it's that familiarity sometimes that just try to have us just go back to a place of just, I just need to be comfortable. I need to just find something that's familiar. Okay, I think y'all kind of hear, the spirit in which I'm communicating this. But familiar spirits will lead you out of your boundaries. They will cause you to bypass counsel. And then they will just kind of take their hands off and allow you to force something to happen. Woo, this is so good. I know it's so good. They will allow you to just like, hey, you know what? Okay, so now they're kind of following the familiar spirit. Hey, follow me. Let's go back to how we used to do things. Let's reconnect with some of the old stuff. Hey, yeah, just follow me. God didn't say you got to do such and such. Hath God really said that? Ah, come on. Let's just go on back there. And then next thing you know, you find yourself trying to force stuff to happen. But check this out. This is so good. Creativity isn't forced. Creativity isn't forced. Creativity is not something that we have to force. It's a flow from faith. Write that down. Creativity isn't force. It's a flow from faith. And so what people, they like to force things. People love to force stuff, but that is not what we want to do. We don't want to just force things. And so here's a perspective with that. After Jesus created, right, and multiplied the two fish and the five loaves of bread to feed over 5,000 people, you know what the people wanted to do? They wanted to force him to be king. See? Why? Because they had a familiarity, or they had a form of who the Messiah was supposed to be. But they didn't have the true picture. They didn't have the true vision. They didn't have the faith of seeing Jesus, or they didn't have the revelation of saying, hey, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were like, oh, snap, this brother fed all of us and there were baskets left over? Ooh, let's make him king. And Jesus is like, look, I wasn't forcing this. I already knew what I was going to do. But I was flowing in a place of thanksgiving from faith. I wasn't creating for your sake. I was doing this. I was working so that way the Lord can be revealed. Oh, check your motives with that. So now, again, you don't want to just force stuff. Not saying that some things won't be a challenge, but you don't want to force it. And so what the difference is, if he's first. Okay, yeah, so I'll explain that difference in just a little bit. But again, We want to stay in the design of God. We want to stay in the design of God. We want to stay in that boundaries. We want to stay in the supernatural thing that he's kind of redeemed and the leaning that he's given us. Oh, we want to stay in there because otherwise we're forcing stuff and it's just like, I know what it's like. I've wrestled with that so much. And I know I'm not the only one. But you kind of wrestle with some things. But God's like, no, I've given you that. Stop fighting that. Okay, so anyways. Someone say, I am staying in his creative counsel. And boundaries, trust me, boundaries are a good thing. You need to create boundaries, even for yourself. Oh, let me talk about this for like a minute or two. Even relationally, it's good to create healthy boundaries. It's like, yeah, because you know what? Because I don't want to get abused or misused because somebody has crossed the boundary. Yeah. Whew, okay, let's keep going. Because we see that there was a boundary that was crossed. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, just verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning. I think I talked about this, but I'm going to share some more on it. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, see, he's crossing the boundaries already. Whose woman was it? brother talking to Adam's wife. Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And we know God already established the boundaries. He's like, Adam, look, you got all this, just don't touch that one. But again, so now Adam, you know, he called different things, he defined some things, but now he left, he was in this situation, but he didn't confront the chaos. He didn't confront the confusion. He didn't speak, he didn't declare what was already said and what was already established. So now as a result, all the creation went into chaos, right? Because he didn't say, he didn't provide definition. And so I think that's just one thing that's powerful for us to be able to say what God says, because otherwise stuff will just continue to run amok and get out of order. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He defined, he provided some definition. He created an environment, he created a space for God to be king over his family. In other words, look, y'all can do what y'all want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so now it's the same thing as formation of my children. So that way, because the familiar spirits will try to come from previous generations or from this world environment to try to insert some things against the teaching that I'm establishing, that my wife and I are establishing. But it's like, nope, I see that. Oh, no, I see some stuff. It's like, no, we're going to expose that. We're going to get rid of that. We're going to shed some light again. We're going to bring God's word to share some truth on that. So that way my children could be even in a more healthy environment than even the one that I came up in. And so if an environment's not healthy, then what you have the ability to be able to do, come on. And this is what God does as well. There's a recreative ability, or there's a recreation, not recreation. But there's a recreation. Oh, so let's talk about that for a little bit. When we create a mistake, or if a mistake is created, or something gets out of order, do not go into panic. Don't go into panic. What you want to be able to do, especially if it's in, you know, as a result of your oversight or lack of oversight, then repent. Like, God, oh, Lord, man, this happened because, man, this was going on and I just ignored it. Man, this stuff was happening and I just maybe didn't want to confront it at that time, didn't know how to confront it, but God, I repent. We don't want to panic. We don't just want to just lose our marbles, so to speak. But it's like, oh, man. But it's got to be just like that a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Lord, whoo. Because then when it's broken, God says, hey, now I can fix that. Because you understand that that was broken, but now let's confront that. Let's confront that even on the inside of you first. So now I can repair that. So now we can confront this situation and now we can recreate. Oh, so what God did. So again, we go into repentance and then we go into the spirit to partner with God again, which we were just talking about. We partner with God again. And remember, I think this is going to be something that I just want to keep echoing. The solution is in the spirit. It's a phrase God gave me, a statement God gave me, a key God gave me, so I'm just going to keep saying it. The solution is in the spirit. And so because of our partnership and key, we have access to recreation ability. So the same God who declared a new heaven and a new earth is on the inside of you with the ability to recreate. You know, it was something because, you know, we were getting rid of some old, I didn't even think about this, but it's coming to me now. Or maybe a few days ago, maybe about a week ago, we were getting rid of some old things, even for the church, some old stuff that was just in storage. And it's like, oh, you know, we got to get rid of this stuff because there's new things that God wants to do. And so it's like, look, if there's any type of familiarity, it's like, you know, if this ain't something that's going to be productive in this new season for the new thing that God wants to do, let's get rid of it. And I remember there was some stuff that was just flat out, just totally unusable, that we took it to a landfill. And then I just made the statement because I remember going there some years, at least 3 to 4 years ago. And I remember this lady told me to drive to a point, you know, I had this truck to empty out some stuff. And she told me to drive to a point. And I remember last time I drove to a point and was able to empty off there. But I was like, hold up, I just passed that point. I kept going and going. And the point that I passed was all covered up now. It didn't even look like the time I went before, so now I'm going to a new place, and what I realized, I was like, man, I'm driving on top of trash that was from years ago. All they did was just cover it up. So it's still familiar stuff, but now they just covered it up. Oh, so that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to create landfills. And say, we're just going to cover that up. No, we can actually get rid of it. In Jesus' name. And then I made a statement. I was like, man, you know what, God? I know there's got to be a new earth because, man, we just messing this thing up. We messed this thing up royally. We got all this waste, and we can't even get rid of it. So we just pile mounds of dirt on it and just keep on going. That mountain was so high, I was like, oh, my gosh. But needless to say, let me get back to my point. We have the ability to recreate. So the principle is still the same, but it's the thing that we want to do it again with more focus and more intentionality. We want to see in the spirit, but sometimes we might need to see something from a different angle. It's like, God, you know, I missed it last time. I didn't see it because maybe I had a spirit of familiarity and you were trying to show me something and I just walked past it as if it was just kind of plain. God says, now, okay, I want you to go back and relook at that again because I want to show you something new this time. Or I want you to see it from a new perspective. My goodness. Now I want you to get wisdom now from that angle so that way you can see it the way that I'm seeing it. You're looking at it from a familiar spirit, but I want you to look at this now from a new perspective. I want you to look at this good thing that maybe you saw was meh. I want you to look at this from a new perspective. Or even this thing that maybe have gotten chaotic, now I want you to look at this from a new perspective. Don't look at it as something as, nothing can be done about it. Something can be done about it. But I want you to recreate. I want you to have a new perspective. I want you to get wisdom and then get the word again so that way there's fresh faith. And then this is what I want you to say. So now say this. And God can do that. He can redeem time. So now, here's just a thought with that that the Lord shared with me. This is real good. Because I've experienced this, you know, because sometimes there's things that we contend with silently, you know, even as it pertains to sickness and disease. So here's this thought. Even in sickness, unchanged conditions, check this out. Even in sickness, unchanged conditions can open a door to familiar spirits, which work to dampen your faith. I'm going to say that again. In sickness, unchanged conditions can open a door to familiar spirits which work to dampen your faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Because maybe things have been so long, people have opened up a door and then they've allowed some things to kind of familiarity to settle in. So now when the new comes, when the Lord says, hey, you know, I want to recreate some things even physically because many works of miracles and physical healings, what they are recreations of what's there. You know, God will restore. He'll establish something that's new, you know, even in the body. All right, Matthew. I'm in Acts. So here's another thing that we're going to intercept right now and eradicate. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 through 58. Here we go. Familiar spirits, right? Here's some of the consequences, some of the results if we allow that gate to remain. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Oh, look at this verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? When did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58. Now, he did not do many mighty works. That was a plan, right? To do many mighty works. But he did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And their unbelief was cultivated by the familiar spirits. They said, wait a second, where'd this man get this stuff from? Jesus doing the works, but they're looking at him with a familiar spirit. It's like, they're looking at the works, but they're talking about his occupation. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Don't he just build stuff? Don't we know his mama? Yeah, we know his brothers. They don't do this stuff. Like, I can't explain what's happening, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know. And Jesus is like, wow. I plan to do many mighty works. There was many things that needed to be created and recreated in the lives and in the bodies of people. Many stuff that God wanted to do in his own hometown. How many times do people say, ah, man, they got all big time and celebrity. They don't even come back home. Well, these people were the opposite. They were like, yeah, we heard what you was doing. But they was like, nah, this that same dude. Hey, ain't this a little Jesus? No, because of their unbelief. And so what we don't want to do is to stay just because of how something was that we just get so familiar with it. So now when the news shows up, then we just stay to the old thing. Remember when Jesus confronted that man that was by the pool of Bethesda? What if he just stayed on his mat? And Jesus said, take up your mat and walk. He was like, you know what? He had an opportunity. He had a choice. Hey, are you going to allow me to do this mighty work? Are you going to believe? Or are you just going to stay these 38 years and continue to add more years to that? No, so we want to make sure that we're renewing our mindset. God, I thank you, Lord, for your recreation. Come on, say, Lord, I thank you for your recreation. Some of you can even speak to your body. God, I thank you for the recreation. All right, give me a couple of more minutes here. I know this is good. Creativity. This is some very practical stuff. It has a cost. Jesus paid the price, right? He paid the price that we couldn't so we could live a life that we couldn't. Thank you, Lord. So now in that, creativity is work. Creativity is work, but then we also work to create. Creativity takes work, but we work to create. So now in that statement, one of the costs, it takes time, but not toil. It takes time, but not toil. Because remember, if you're toiling, you're forcing it. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to work differently. Hey, Peter, cast your net on the other side. And Jesus, not even a fisherman. This is my business. This is my occupation. And Jesus is like, nah, I need you to work differently. You've been toiling hard. But what did Peter say? But nevertheless, at your word, dropped his net, had to catch the greatest revenue that his business has ever experienced. And then Peter wound up repenting. Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus is like, look, you've been catching fish, but now I'm going to teach you how to work differently. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Right? But this some of the costs. That's one of the costs. We want to make sure that we're not forcing it. So it takes time, not toil. If you're toiling, you're forcing it. But here's the one thing to discern, because sometimes it'll be just like a grace on you and just an energy on you to complete a thing. That's different. It'll be a grace on you, so you want to make sure that you stay with it until you finish it. But here's the key. When the flow stops, you stop. The point is not to burn the candle, so to speak, on both ends, and that you're just exhausting yourself. Yeah, I'm just trying to do the things of God. And if you're just wearing yourself out, nah, that's the enemy. God is not trying to wear you out. All right? So to condition ourselves for creativity, again, we can't force it, but we can't condition ourselves for it, and that comes through consistency. Just going to mention a couple of thoughts with this. So it requires for us to either do something every day, depending on what it is, to do something every week, or to do something every month, but it needs to be consistent. there's some things that God, you know, I had some time to just kind of get before the Lord and get some counsel before him. And it's like, okay, God, let's just take a re-look at this schedule. Because I know there's a particular gift that's coming forth, that's always been there, that God wants to work through, you know, in a different fashion. But it's like, okay, Lord, I still have these time obligations. How do I need to do this time? And he was like, hey, just take at some point on Mondays. Before, when I would do, in particular, when I used to do music, I have on my heart, I've had it for years to be able to do one final project. But now I know, I got this grace and I got this creativity to flow in this. But before how I used to work and go and record to like 3-4 in the morning. So I would leave at night and then I would come home with birds chirping and the sun coming up. I can't work like that anymore. I have to work differently. So I'm like, okay, God, how do I need to do this now? Because I'm not staying up, although I could, but then that'd be forcing it. So he was like, hey, just spend some time, just find out a point of time on Mondays, invite my presence, and then I'll be with you to unlock the creativity to flow. And it's been happening. I was like, oh God, this is cool. He was like, but stay with it. Don't come out of that lane and then try to stay up to 2 in the morning and be like, yeah, no. Mm-mm. Like, stay with this work, because otherwise you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to toil, and that's not what is going to be done. All right? Because I don't want to do something just to do it. I want to do it that's going to have an impact. Last thought, and this is where the activation is going to come in. So that way you have confidence to create. Confidence, and so that way there's a creative flow, a creative zone. And let me just kind of share this quick thought, because, you know, when Apostle mentioned at the beginning of the year talking about the zone, that had never left me. And so that has been something that's been kind of like such a strong undercurrent in my spirit. And now it's coming forth like never before. It's like, man, God, I'm getting into a zone. And one of the things that I like about that word zone, the root word is one. God, I'm getting into a one thing here. I'm getting into some stuff here that I'm starting, that's becoming revelation to me. And I'm like, oh, this creativity is starting to come forth. And I'm like, whoo, Lord, I'm starting to feel like I'm being more of who you called me to be. All right, and it's creative. So now here we go. What you want to do, 4 things for confidence and creativity. You want to place yourself in position where he is so that way you can be creative. In other words, get in his presence. Let me put it simple and plain. Get in his presence. Adam was placed in the garden. He walked with God. Make sure you're walking with God. That's first and foremost for creativity to flow. Number 2, here's a big part though. Acknowledge that you are creative. Because sometimes people start to look at other people and be like, ah, well, man, I'm not creative. Yes, you are. You absolutely are creative. You might be creative in a different fashion, but you're creative. Sometimes people look at people that are just artistic and classify creativity just for those type of people that are music, art, dance, entertainment. They're not the only people that create. It's just a type of creativity. If you know how to organize and do systems, that is creativity. You can create order. You can create a system. You can create some things that are more efficient. That's creativity. All right, so just say, I am creative, and don't despise it, define it. You just need to say, yep, I'm creative. I'm like my father, I'm creative. So you wanna acknowledge that you're creative. And then 3, what we wanna do, we wanna call forth that comparable team, right? Those suitable people. I believe in the Macedonia call. I believe they're still appropriate. Lord, help. I've done my part, God, and now I thank you for the right people that can add and bring life to it. So that way we can continue in this work. And then 4, we want to honor him in the mission, the purpose, the why. You know, he's the reason why. Some people do things strictly for money. That is not the first thing. That can be a byproduct. But the first thing is like, man, how can I serve people? How can I help? How can I bring about transformation? How can I bring about change? How can I create something that's more efficient? How can I create something that's an improvement? How can I create something that is maybe a better way to be able to do something? Oh, how can I help people? Yeah. So remember, get in his presence, place yourself in position where he is so that way you can be creative, invest time. And one thing I suggest with that, first thing in the morning, Before you get to work on anything else, allow him to work in you and to work some things out of you. Before we get to work on other stuff, it's like, God, work on me, work in me, and work some stuff out of me. First thing in the morning, don't hop on the phone, don't get into a digital device, get in his presence. Let me say that again. Don't hop on the phone. I know some of us might have phones on alarm. As soon as you get it off, don't hit the snooze. Yep. Then put that phone over, set it aside, go into another room so that way he can speak to you. Acknowledge that you're creative. Like, God, I thank you for allowing me to see creative solutions because you've called me to be creative. God, even on my job, come on, even on that job, whether you like it or not, God has created an opportunity for you to be creative. And if it gets stifled, if it gets frustrated, then it's like, God, I'm still going to be faithful, but then I'm going to allow you to bring another opportunity so that way I can be creative, right? But acknowledge that you're creative. Call forth a comparable team. God, I thank you for the team of people, the right person. And then, Lord, I want to honor you in this mission. I want to honor you with the results of the creativity. In other words, give him the glory. It's like, oh my gosh, that was so good what you did. How did you do that? Oh man, God, you know, I hooked up with Jesus. Man, let me tell you my creative process. Oh, really? Wow. Okay, I mean, if you believe it's God, because sometimes you can have something that's produced that is just so phenomenal in what it's produced. They might not fully like or agree with your God, but it's like, man, I like what's being produced. So whatever you're doing, keep doing that. Keep working. Keep that up. And I'm gonna give coins. I'm gonna pay the cost for the cost that you're paying. Okay? My goodness. Creativity's loading. Creativity's being activated. So now let's pray some things in the name of Jesus. Thank y'all for your hunger and just going for this. Come on. But I just believe that there's some creativity and there's some familiarity that's going to be and is now crushed. Those gates are being torn down in the name of Jesus. I'm already praying and declaring right now in the name of Jesus that where there has been a spirit of familiarity, things that have been trying to wedge itself and rise up in relationships and rise up in the body and rise up in businesses and in marriages and in families, we eradicate that familiar, that old, that confusion, that chaos, that miscommunication, that misunderstanding, that misalignment, that sickness, that disease in the name of Jesus. Come on, Rateko. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, we say no more. Come on, somebody say no more. And then what you have to do, you have to say, let there be and call what should be. Let there be wholeness. Let there be peace. Let there be health. Let there be prosperity. Let there be order. Let there be understanding. Let there be deliverance. Let there be alignment. In the name of Jesus, come on, you got to call those things out. You expose it, but then you express the kingdom to that. You confront it. You don't allow it to be silent like Adam while things are going on and allow chaos to enter in. No, we confront that familiar stuff. As soon as you pick up, as soon as you discern it, be like, nope, that ain't going to be it. And you can address it in the spirit. And then if it might want to be an expression or manifestation in a person, then it's like, look, we need to have a conversation. It's like, I don't know. I've been kind of sensing some things and, you know, I don't know if you have or not. I'm not saying, you know, whatever the case may be, but let me just express, let's just have some counsel on some things. Let's just have a dialogue. Right? And then this is what has to be done. Whether you need to say that conversation or somebody needs to have it with you, make sure that you don't allow that old familiar to be like, nah. No, because remember the supernatural comes to confront the status quo. If something is off, we need to confront it so that way we can, because look, we're a team. We need to stay producing. Right, because there's some new things that God wants to create and recreate as we express his creativity on earth. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Yeah, you speak to the body. I know it's a certain thing that I've been going on that's happened in my body. And I'm like, man, you know what? I read about it, and what they say is it's incurable. There's nothing that they can that can really be done about it. I'm like, okay, I got you. Cool. I hear that. I see that. But what I'm going to say is let there be. So I'm going to do, and I thank God from last year to this year that there has been improvement. So I'm like, Lord, I thank you, because trust me, that joker hurt a lot and a lot of the times. But I'm like, God, I thank you, Lord, for each improvement in the name of Jesus. And so I'll speak it to my body. It's like, yeah, God, I'm not going to let this condition that has been kind of hampering some ability of some stuff that I've been desiring to do. But it's like, nah, I see myself doing it in Jesus' name. It's like, nah, I'm still going to keep believing because I'm going to be able to do this thing fully. Come on. Yeah. So I'm speaking. It's like, God, I thank you, Lord, for the recreation in Jesus' name. For the mighty works. Come on. For the mighty works. So now, somebody just begin to say in your house, in your environment, I just caught this, but I just want us to say this. Say, let the creativity flow. Let the creativity flow. God, let the creativity flow in the name of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. And what's going to happen? God's going to start sparking and even some creative things. And be like, oh, man, Lord, I seemed like I was stuck for a while, but woo, God, now I'm seeing this thing differently. It's like, oh, man, there's a solution. There's the key right there. Even if it's a small thing, don't look at it as small. Be like, God, this is what's brought before me. Okay, Lord, what you want me to add to this? How can this be multiplied? It might look like just two fish, five loaves. Don't look at it as two fish, five loaves. Like, no, this is going to touch thousands. I'm going to thank God for what I have. I'm not going to despise it. And I'm going to create in Jesus' name. Father, we bless you. We bless you right now. Oh, my gosh. I get to that scripture, Lord. Okay. Yep, God, but we bless you right now for just the activation of your creative DNA on the inside of us, God. I thank you, Lord. Oh, where there's been familiarity, where there's been frustration, where there's been forcing, God, it has been removed and faith is being recreated. Where there's been toil, there's a new way, an openness of working, God, where there's been rejection of counsel and listening. I thank you, Lord, that that's been eradicated and removed and that people are open to receive counsel on how to work and not to be irritated to get stuck doing the same thing. Oh, God, that is done. We are not going back to the old, Lord, but we are beholding now because you do a new thing. In Jesus' name. Oh, radical, God. And even in this season, God, because of this creativity, whoa, my God, we're going to be able to navigate and circumvent circumstances that the world will go through. But because you said, let there be light, while there's darkness in the world, there's going to be light in Goshen, and that's us. We're not just going to live in it, we're going to be it. Yeah, because you've called us to be lights in this world. In Jesus' name, God, now let the creativity flow, Lord. Let it flow. Let the comparable teams come. God, we call them forth in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the creativity. I thank you for just a tangible, your presence is just so tangible in our time with you, God, as we spend time with you first thing in the morning outside of any devices, God, but we're in the presence of the divine. We're receiving of your word, God. We're activating. We're walking in this, God. We're getting what you're saying, and we're operating as you operate in this earth, God, and we just bless you because we desire to bless you with the fruit of our lips and as well as what our hands produce in Jesus' name. Thank you for the creativity, God. Thank you for the fresh activation of creativity, God, and even the stewardship to manage. In Jesus' name, amen.